Well, it's great to see all of you here this morning. You know, next Sunday, we're starting a new series called Strong Women, Mighty Men of the Bible. And it's going to be a great time. We want to encourage you to bring your friends. We're going to be doing just some character studies of men and women in the Bible to see how we can learn and glean from them. But this morning is a special day. You may not know this, but this morning is National Grandparents Day. How many of you are grandparents? Raise your hand. Look around. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands. Look around. Yeah. And how many of you were able to attend the grandparenting seminar that we had on Friday night and Saturday? Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. You know, Auburn is about 50% grandparents. And as we look forward into the future, right across the street, there is 858 retirement homes and apartments going in across the street. We're going to continue to grow as a community. We want to make sure that we're on the front edge of that as far as ministry is concerned. And so last December, Pastor John McIntosh retired from ministry in our fellowship after many, many years. I've known John for a long time and his wife Carolyn. We brought them on our staff part-time. He is our pastor to grandparents. And so he's here to share with us this morning because it is Grandparent Sunday. So let's welcome Pastor John today with us.
Yes, we had about 140 people spread out on the auditorium floor, seated at round tables, and it was hilarious, not hilarious, but we had a good time. Larry Fowler, president of Legacy Coalition, was the speaker, and he had us riveted for six sessions, Friday night and Saturday morning. I have, Carolyn and I have nine grandchildren, one great-grandchild, and they were here this morning, some of them, not all of them, about four, and I just feel blessed. And I want to say that as a pastor of Grandparenting Ministries, that certainly doesn't mean I got it all wired, because I don't. But I'm learning, and my desire is to minister with others who have a desire to have a spiritual impact in the lives of their grandchildren. And one thing that has emerged among all that we've worked with is that, boy, I wish we'd have known this sooner. I wish we could have started earlier in our relationship with our grandkids because the time is so urgent and the need is so great. And so it was September the 6th, 1979, when President Jimmy Carter declared the first Sunday after Labor Day would be National Grandparent Sunday. That means that this is the 40th year the nation has celebrated the event. And I did some research in anticipation of the message this morning because I wanted to know the significance of grandparenting in this country. And I found, first of all, 10% of all grandparents have a tattoo. I was so blessed by that. 90% of you are hanging in there. Way to go. I also found that grandparents represent one-third of the nation's population, adding 1.7 million every year. And I also discovered that grandparents are younger than they've ever been. 43% became grandparents in their 50s, 37% in their 40s, and the average age of a grandparent today is somewhere between 47 and 48. Grandparents control 75% of the wealth in this country. Think about it. A third of the population controls 75% of the wealth in the United States. Grandparents spend $52 billion a year on grandkids. My grandchildren were sitting out here in the auditorium first service. I made the declaration. I got no card this morning. I got no phone call. No one's invited me out to lunch. And I pointed to the kids and said, if you want a chunk of that $52 billion, you better pony up. Well, I did get a card from my granddaughter, and so she's established her her identity and her slice of the pie. Grandparents are wired. 75% of grandparents are online. 45% are in social networks. And a recent U.S. poll showed that 90% of college co-eds believe that grandfathers are more sexy than professional football players. I made that one up. Ten percent of grandchildren in America live with their grandparents, according to a U.S. census. And I know that number's growing. And 72% love being a grandparent and think it's the most important thing they will do in their lifetime. Pretty significant. I was shocked to talk to the number of people my age who don't believe that the Bible has that much to say about grandparenting. Josh Mulvihill, who has written a doctrinal thesis on grandparents from a biblical perspective, he discovered by reading through the Old and New Testament during the course of a year, 100 pages of notes directing teaching to the subject of grandparenting. And he wrote his thesis from his research. So the Bible speaks very clearly to the subject of Christian grandparenting and grandchildren and grandparents. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6 say, grandchildren are the crown of the elderly. Literally, grandchildren are the crown of old men, sons in the Hebrew. What we know of Jewish culture indicates that senior adults, the gray head, is held in a position of honor. What we discover in many evangelical churches is that once you develop the gray head, you are moved to the margin of ministry. People just want young adults involved in service. And yes, we'll take your tithe, we'll take your financial resources, but you've had your time, and the time now is for the younger generation. I thank God that's not true here. And I have to say that Carolyn and I thoroughly enjoy our ministry here with the Sparlings. When Phil speaks, I feel God talking to my heart, and I'm grateful. But it's a delight to see the way senior adults are engaged in ministry. And I think that's a real credit to the leadership of the church. The scripture says they, righteous men, will flourish. They will thrive in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. That's Psalm 92. Psalm 92 is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving for the Lord's goodness. Grandparents, we're told here, can be happy, continue to be fruitful and productive, even in advanced years. When you look a little bit closer at that verse, they flourish, they still yield fruit, and they're full of sap. They are full of sap and very green. I scratched my head over that one. Never considered myself full of sap. But sap can be translated, according to the margin in my Bible, fat. Don't laugh at what's in the Bible. They are full of sap, meaning that they are fat, which in those days plump was desired. They are full of sap or fat and very green, meaning they are very vigorous. They declare that the Lord is upright. The righteous elderly have reason to be thankful and offer praise to God. And so in a pagan culture that we live in today, it's extremely important for grandparents to recognize a sense of urgency at the moment of the times. You and I are aware of the fact that educational elite in our culture can't distinguish between male and female. It's become extremely complicated. My wife says that in some places you can't put male and female on a birth certificate until a child gets a certain age and declares for himself whether he is one of those two or one of 17 other, at this point, 17 other options. And what our educators want to do is take their confusion and plant it in the preschool to grade school elements, teaching that kind of teaching in our public schools. I'm telling you, folks, the world that we are leaving behind for our grandkids is perilous, but not hopeless. The reality is that we know that the church has made its largest strides in times of adversity, in times when it's costly to be a Christian. The church has thrived. And we believe that that time is coming. And therefore, it is absolutely incumbent that our grandchildren be prepared for this challenge. And we need grandparents who are willing to step up and pour spiritual truth into the lives of their grandkids. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. It was important in the Old Testament to pass on from one generation to the next generation the mighty works of God. And here our Lord is telling the people of Israel to remember the things that they have seen. You know, things like taking the Red Sea and making it stand up straight up so that the people could walk across on dry land. Don't forget that. Don't forget the fact that Moses spoke to the rock and water came out. Don't forget the fact that people who wore their shoes in the wilderness wore them for 40 years and they didn't wear out. Don't forget the military campaigns where you not only survived, but you were victorious because of the miraculous power of God. Don't forget. Don't forget, and be sure to pass those experiences on to your children, who will pass it along to their children. What you've experienced with the Lord needs to be communicated to your heritage. Same is true with us. You and I have experiences from our past when we came to a point financially we didn't know how we were going to make it. And God provided in what appeared to be supernatural ways. We've gone through periods of illness, sickness, even death in the family. And God has sustained us with his grace and his mercy and his strength. Our grandkids need to hear that. They need to hear our stories. Why? Because they're going to face those things themselves. They're going to go through trials and affliction. They're going to come to points when they don't have the resources to answer a need that's incumbent upon them. They're going to feel the pressures of life that you've experienced. They need to hear your stories. Remember what you've seen. Hide it away in your soul. Put words to it and share it with your grandkids. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen. Deuteronomy 4:9, and then in chapter 6 it says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel," there's a sense of urgency here in these words, "O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey." Moses is pleading with his people. Moses is pleading with them to tell their sons and their grandsons the great works of God. If you look at the generations that appear in God telling Moses, and Moses telling fathers, and fathers telling sons, and sons telling grandsons, I came up with four generations. And if a generation is 40 years, we're talking about things, stories that you'll tell that impact your family, what, 160 years? You're telling stories to your grandchildren that will be repeated to the ears of people that you will never meet on this earth should the Lord tarry. The significance of the place that the Lord has placed us is absolutely essential for us to take advantage of the times that we have and to remember and to reflect upon the goodness and provision of God in our lives. Our grandkids need to hear those stories. There will be a time when they want to know who their people are. There will be a time when they want you to tell about your father and mother, your grandfather and grandmother. Where did I come from? We need to have the answers to those questions. We need to share the great things that God has done in our lives. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. In other words, there's no searching his greatness. It means that we will spend eternity pursuing an understanding of the infinite God. He is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Psalm 145. Where do I start? How can I start? My feeling is I got so much junk in my trunk. Who am I to have a spiritual impact in the lives of my grandkids? My grandkids know me. They know how I act and react to disappointment. They know how I treat my wife. They know my weaknesses. They know maybe my strengths. And so I'm convinced that perfection is not a requirement. But honesty is. Don't try to convince yourself that you are a person you're not, because your grandkids can see right through it. And if we can be honest and indicate to them that we're still pilgrims ourselves, but our lives are moving in a certain direction to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, that's the desire of our heart, and someday we will be completed in holiness when we graduate into the presence of the Lord. Now, perfection's not required, but honesty is. And sometimes we're afraid to be honest. Where do you start? Five values for a Christian grandparent to consider when desiring to have a spiritual impact in the lives of the grandchildren. Number one, pray. If you don't feel like you can do anything else, pray for your grandkids. "I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear, hear my speech." 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. So the question is it God's will that I pray for my grandkids, that the Lord will help to develop them, their spiritual character, in order that they might meet the challenges of the culture of their times? Is that in the will of God? Answer, yes. Is it clear then that if I ask that, he will hear me? The answer is yes. So, if I don't pray, does that mean that God withholds? Well, that takes us out of the realm of what we know. But we do know we need to pray for them. And we do know we need to pray in faith. And we do know that God answers. We have friends, husband and wife, that received the gut-wrenching news that their daughter was gay. And to a lot of families, that's discouraging, as it was to the mom. And when we got together with two other couples, and we still meet with them from a former church, we get together. At one time, it was once a month. Now it's like once every 2 months. But all of us have prayer requests for our kids and our grandkids. And when she told the group that her daughter had made this announcement, we were devastated for her. But out of that experience, what has happened is mom and dad have been drawn closer to each other and closer to the Lord in prayer, and closer to us as friends. And the consensus is that this young lady, while she's made this declaration, is on a pilgrimage. She has made a profession of faith in Christ. Her folks believe she's a Christian. And she's on a pilgrimage, and her pilgrimage is different than my grandchildren's pilgrimage, which is different from your grandchildren's pilgrimage, and sometimes in the lifetime of our children and grandchildren, there is a drifting away. Some of you here this morning have children who've wandered away from the faith, grandchildren who've done the same. It's important to remember the importance of praying for them. And if you're so inclined to draw other friends together to pray for your grandchildren so that you in turn would pray for theirs. But they're not home yet. In fact, the answer to the prayer may not come till long after Grandpa and Grandma graduated to be in the presence of the Lord. Don't give up. Don't quit praying. Hang tough. The Lord answers in his time and in his way. Pray for your grandkids. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Second, be a role model to your grandchildren. Paul said to the Philippians, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." So as I've said, our grandchildren learn from us the way we really are. And there's no purpose, there's no sense in trying to bluff. There's no sense in trying to impress them that we're something we're not. And as I mentioned earlier, it's appropriate for us to be honest and transparent. It's essential. Brethren, join in following my example, Paul said again in the book of Philippians, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you've seen in us. I think about Paul's associate, Timothy. From what we know of Timothy, his mother and grandmother were godly women, and they had a profound impact on this little boy's life. But Tim's father probably wasn't a believer. And it was Paul who taught Tim how to be a man. It was Paul who went through the trials and difficulties of ministry. Tim watched from a distance as Paul was stoned, apparently to death, drug outside the city where he came to and walked back into the city. Tim saw that. Tim saw as Paul declared the gospel of Jesus Christ and watched as people came to a saving relationship, responding to the call of Christ and became Christians. He saw the exhilaration in Paul. He learned from that experience. He learned from the hardships that Paul went through. In fact, in the book of 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote, he wrote to Timothy, Paul expecting to die. He was pretty sure in a Roman prison that this was the end of the line. Some think that he survived and went on to other ministry. We don't know that for sure, but it's clear that he thinks he's going to die. And it reminds us, the last thing you will teach your grandchildren is how to die. They may have the privilege of watching you. My mom lived with us for 4 years. My grandkids, the first time they saw her, were terrified at an older person. My mother was a soft, loving person, and she easily drew those little kids to herself so that they felt an ease in coming and falling into her arms and being wrapped by her arms and laughing with them and playing with them. They learned about old people. My mother got sick, and then she got sicker, and then she got sicker. We knew she was going to die. My granddaughters came in and painted her fingernails as she lay on her deathbed because they wanted her to be pretty for Jesus. The last thing we teach our kids and grandkids as believers is to how to die. It's important to remember that, not to be morbid about it, but it's part of life. And the way a Christian experiences death ought to reflect, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Your grandchildren will take notes. Be a role model to your grandchildren. Number three, ask your grandchildren questions and listen to their answers. Sometimes as an older person, we think we're so full of knowledge and information, everybody ought to sit down and listen to us yammer and yammer and yammer and take notes on all the fine stuff we got to say. As adults, we need to be careful. We need to learn to ask questions. I learned that early on being a father. There comes a time, particularly in the teenage years, when a father needs to stop telling and to start listening. Everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That expression is forged in the context of family relationship. The idea of being devoted is a family expression. Family members ought to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. In other words, these values ought to begin in the home and then spread out into the congregation, the church, the body of Christ. But our grandchildren learn that principle with mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. You've probably heard this before. It's called a prayer about growing old. If you've heard it before, I don't care. I'm going to read it again. A prayer about getting old. Lord, thou knowest better than I know myself that I'm growing older and someday will be old. keep me from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject and on every occasion. Release me from craving to straighten out everybody's affairs. Make me thoughtful but not moody, helpful but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wing to get to the point. Seal my lips on my aches and pains. They are increasing, and I love of rehearsing them. It is becoming sweeter as the years go by. I dare not ask for grace enough to enjoy the tales of others' pains, but help me to endure them with patience. I dare not ask for improved memory, but for a growing humility and a lessening overconfident cockiness when my memory seems to clash with the memories of others. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I may be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. Some of them are so hard to live with, but a sour old person's one of the crowning works of the devil. Give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people. And give me, O Lord, the grace to tell them so. God's word adds this: even when I am old and gray, God, do not abandon me. Then I will proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come. Number four, tell your grandchildren your personal stories. As I mentioned, there will come a time when your grandkids are going to want to know who they are and where they came from. They're going to want to know about their people. We learned in the conference that it's good for us at some point to make a written record of our people. Write about your dad, your mother, what you remember of your grandfather, your grandmother, and maybe beyond that. Tell the idiosyncrasies, the funny things about them, the things that made you angry about them. Write those things for your grandchildren to read someday in the future. Again, Deuteronomy 6:1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord God to keep his statutes. Your story ought to help your grandchildren keep life in perspective, in God's perspective. Moses had experiences in the Old Testament, and one comes to mind, but I'm not going to go into the details. When they crossed the Jordan River, just quickly, I will remind you that Moses told 12 leaders from 12 tribes to take 12 stones and stack them on the other side of the Jordan River, so that when children came along later and would ask, "What's this stack of stones all about?" the parents and the grandparents can say, "This is the day the Lord honored us by allowing us to walk across dry land and into the promised land." Our grandchildren need those kinds of memorials to remember, because someday they will need those memories to sustain them through the power of the work of God. Many of us have not had the experience of spiritual grandparents who've invested in us those kinds of stories. But there are a lot of things you brought to marriage and you started with your own kids that you determined were not going to be a part of your past. And regardless of where you are now, and I don't care if your grandkids are little, I don't care if they're married and have kids of their own, they're on a pilgrimage. Some of them may be doing everything you hoped they would do. And you love bragging about your kids and your grandkids. Some of you, when you hear those stories, cringe because you realize your family has not measured up to those things. And there's a sadness in your soul when you hear the stories of success of others. Regardless of what you've inherited, you've resolved that because Jesus Christ is so real in your life, that part of the heritage you're passing on to your children and your grandchildren is a life of obedience, not perfection, but a life of obedience, a life that indicates a clear direction in your life, a life that establishes a path that your grandchildren can follow. Number 5, set the hope of your grandchildren in God. Grandkids ought to see the hope that you have in the Lord. Grandkids ought to see through your experiences and through your words. Psalm 78:5. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, and that the next generation might come to know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, so that they should set their hope in God, so that they should set their hope in God, so that they should set their hope in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Larry Fowler concluded the conference by saying that the deepest longing of his heart is to spend eternity with his children and his grandchildren. And he recognizes that that means that requires some investment from him and his wife, Diane. And so he is resolved to have a part, a significant part, with permission from mom and dad, their children, with permission, they are given the opportunity to invest in the lives of the grandkids. Now, let me say something here. I know that some of you have resistance to that. Your kids have said, don't say anything to my kids about God. That brings us back to number 1, pray. Pray that God will change hearts. But set the hope of your grandchildren in God. That's what we ought to pray for. That's my hope. I hope it's yours. Pray for your grandchildren. Be a role model. Ask them questions and listen to their answers. Tell your personal story about God's provision in your life. And set the hope of your grandchildren in God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we sometimes forget the great things that you've done in our past. Our memories is not as good as they used to be. And we need the work of the Spirit of God to bring those things to our remembrance. Because we do want to be diligent to pass those stories along to our grandchildren, stories that remind us of the goodness, the greatness of God. We want our experiences to be a part of the heritage that we pass on to our family. We want the experiences of disappointment and the times that we've failed to be a part of that story, because we want to be honest and we want to be transparent. But Lord, this morning, we're thinking of our grandkids. Yes, we're thinking of our kids. We're thinking of members of our family that have walked away from the faith from all outward appearance. And we know, Lord, that those who are your own, you do not let go of. And so we're praying this morning for those who are walking obediently with you as well as those who have drifted. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be the grandparents that you want us to be. Let me stop and say, with heads down and eyes closed, I may not be praying for everyone. But this morning, if you're counted among those who want to be identified as grandparents who want to have a spiritual investment in the lives of their kids, I'm going to ask you to stand. And in standing, you're saying, Lord, count me, number me among those grandparents who want to be committed to these values and want to invest a part of their spiritual hope in you. Lord, you see those who are on their feet this morning. You can see into their hearts in ways that I cannot. And you can see the longings. You can see the faith. You can see the disappointment and pain as well as the love and thanksgiving that you've afforded each of us. Lord, I pray that regardless of what it's been like in the past, that from here on out, we would be grandparents who pray regularly for our grandkids. That we might strive to be role models. That we might ask questions and listen to their answers. That we might carefully tell our stories. And that we might direct our grandkids to the hope that we cling to this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would give us strength and wisdom to know how to be what you want us to be, not only for your glory, certainly uppermost that's true, but also as a light that's shed upon the pathway, the footprints that we leave behind, that our children, grandchildren and grandchildren might be drawn closer to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a great week.